Sportsline continues on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.
Welcome back to Sportsline here on The Fan. I'm Chris, that's Marcus, here till 6 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to visiting with Tiki Barber, one of the all-time great NFL running backs. And before we get to Tiki, going to talk a little bit about Hum by Verizon. Is your check engine light on? Hum by Verizon can tell you why, so you can fix small problems before they become big ones. Find out more at connected@hum.com. Right now, want to welcome in the three-time Pro Bowler, Giants Ring of Honor member, Tiki Barber, who's going to be here on The Fan 2 to 4 leading into our show each and every day, Monday through Friday. Tiki, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing excellent, excellent. Hey, I wanted to start out, first of all, just by saying how much I admired your game and how much, with Marcus and I, we talk about what the Packers need. They say a running back, but what they really need would be Tiki Barber. 5'10", 205, I'm serious, that kind of style. James White, I looked you guys up, identical height, weight as you, and could have, would have maybe been the Super Bowl MVP. Just talk about your game and how that would fit into today's style of play and maybe even to the Packers as it relates.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because you hear a lot about the running backs that are available this year. And there's a bunch of them. Leonard Fournette, obviously, is the one that tops. Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey. And sometimes I see these names, and then the description behind them is not big enough or durable enough to be an every down back in the National Football League. And they're, 5'11", 210 pounds. I'm like, wait a second, what did I do for 10 years? Because that was my height and size. And I got 350 carries, and I held up for 10 years. And so I think sometimes the perception of the smaller type backs that were in my mold, that were like LaDainian Tomlinson, who's going in the Hall of Fame, that are like, Devontae Freeman right now, honestly, with the Atlanta Falcons, those guys get the perception that they can't handle the beating, but they actually can, especially if they're used right in the right kind of offense. And I think that's what made guys like us have such long careers, because we didn't take direct hits, right? We weren't lining up 8 yards deep and running downhill between the tackles and banging our heads for 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It was a lot of misdirection. It was a lot of counter plays. It was a lot of running to the edges, a lot of catching the ball at the backfield. And so you were able to use your athleticism and agility to make big plays, but also be out there for a significant amount for the contributions for teams throughout the games and the season.
That's Tiki Barber here on Sportsline. If the Packers brought in a running back like a Tiki Barber, and I know they're rare, but if they did, what would you bring to this offense? You know the personnel. How much of an impact could you make, do you think, with the way Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers like to play?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's kind of what the Giants are now in a way, and that makes sense because of the head coach and Ben McAdoo, who was obviously with the Packers for a long time. But it's much more of a pass-first offense, which is different than the mentality that I was used to playing with. Right? The old school way of thinking in the NFL was you got to run the ball first, and that sets up play action, which sets up getting the ball downfield because guys are sucking up and scared of the run. I think I would have trouble, to be honest with you, playing out of the shotgun in the pistol or sitting side saddle for most of my carries. What I was really good at was cutting back, right, and seeing a hole, expecting where it's supposed to be, but seeing linebackers or even the safeties who cheat down sometimes over pursuing and overplaying a run to the front side, which open up these huge gaps on the backside. It's hard to do that out of the shotgun. And since a lot of the Packers' offense is out of the shotgun, I don't know if I would fit in it. I mean, I never spent a lot of time other than third down situations, and you're limited to draws and things of that nature. I would have adjusted, but I wouldn't have been the same type of player that I was, a one-cut slasher that was able to break some big plays by breaking tackles and getting guys off balance.
Tiki and Tierney replaces the Doug Gottlieb Show 2 to 4 p.m. right here on The Fan leading into Sportsline. Now, I want to ask you about that, Tiki, because don't get me wrong, I love basketball, and Doug Gottlieb, a former player, he's a basketball guy, but we're in Green Bay, and people love their football, so we're excited about the time change.
Yeah, no, we're excited too. Look, we've been lobbying for the simulcast side of this for a long time. Earlier on in our existence, Boomer and Carton do the morning show, which is a local New York show, but because they're not worried and this makes a lot of sense if you're perfectly honest, from 6 to 10 or 6 to 11 in the morning, you're not worried about a TV audience on the West Coast because they're not up anyways. It's 3 o'clock in the morning over there. Mm-hmm. And so I understood why the simulcast that was on CBS Sports Network was focused on New York, which was Boomer and Carton, and they dominate New York, so it makes sense. But it left us kind of stuck, at least when it comes to terms of television. And so the only other option was Doug Slott. Because he now is moving over to Fox Sports, it was there. And I gotta tell you, we lobbied hard for it, BT and I. We've been toiling since the beginning of CBS Sports Radio, and, you know, we're excited for the opportunity. Yeah, we do talk sports, do talk football, but we talk all sports. Mm-hmm. But football is king. You know, you guys know that. We know that. The networks know that. And so getting the opportunity to be in more markets at a lighter time slot, which obviously is great for our psyche, not having to wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, is something that we're really excited about.
Tiki, when you set out to do a show, is it to try to be a little provocative? Do you want people to go, I want to kind of think about what he's talking about, where he's coming from? And in today's climate, how do you walk that line that can be really delicate and sometimes be a trap, politics, which can cross over into sports, and it has through history?
Yeah, no, it really has. And we don't shy away from that, to be honest with you. BT is from Brooklyn, and he is straight in your face about anything and everything, whether it's race, whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, issues that happen that are plaguing some of the leagues, like domestic violence. We put it right out there, and we express our opinions. And you don't always have to agree, and our listeners don't always agree with us. But we welcome the conversation, right? We're not combative. If someone calls us and has a different opinion and it gets a little heated, it's fine because that's just what it is. But we're not combative in that regard. But when we think about doing our show, we don't want to necessarily be provocative. We want to give strong opinions about how we see the world of sports and see it and give it organically. That's the beauty of doing a show with Brandon, who's been in this game for so long, meaning the broadcasting and the opining game for so long, is that we don't often pre-discuss, like, what's your take going to be or what's your take going to be. And so sometimes he just throws things out there at me, and it catches me off guard, but I respond organically. And if he agrees with me, it's great. If he disagrees with me, we go into this disagreement, which makes for good radio and, I think, great conversation, because that's what we're trying to just like you guys, what we're trying to incite in our listeners is conversation. Think a little bit about some of these issues that are going on, sometimes on the surface, but sometimes they get a lot deeper as well.
That's Tiki Barber. Tiki and Tierney, they're going to replace Doug Gottlieb's show here 2 to 4 on the Fan right before we tee it up Monday through Friday, Marcus.
Tiki, so I got to ask you, I'm thinking when you're talking about yourself trying to fit in a pass-first offense and the adjustment playing in the shotgun, Adrian
Yep.
Peterson is still sitting out there, and people are thinking, where is he going to wind up? People speculating maybe the price comes down and it ends up being the Packers, but then a negative, people not sure whether he would fit in because he hasn't been as successful playing out of the shotgun. What kind
Yep.
of transition, how difficult is that? How different is that?
It's especially for a guy like him. We remember him from his rookie years. You guys obviously do remember him from his rookie year. He is a line me up at 8 yards deep. I'm going to be squatting back there. I'm going to get downhill. If I have to run through a tackle, I'm going to run through a tackle, and I'm going to explode through the secondary. Okay. And so the transition is difficult because it's what he's done his entire life. Even if you go back to Oklahoma, he's always been a one-cut downhill runner. And so I think a lot of the places that he's visited, other than Oakland, which, to be honest with you, when BT and I started looking at the potential landing spots after he was not his option wasn't picked up for the Minnesota Vikings, Oakland was the one that made the most sense because they do still employ that downhill run game, even though they didn't at the end of last year when Derek Carr jacked up his hand, so he was out of the shotgun for the last 3 or 4 games of the regular season. But for the most part, they do run downhill. The Saints don't make sense. The Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots don't really make sense for Adrian Peterson. And in the case that you're talking about, I'm not sure the Green Bay Packers do as well, especially if the price isn't right, and especially considering how deep this draft is for running backs coming up. He'll probably sit, in my estimation, until after the draft, until teams look around in their backfield and they say, well, what do we have? And if they don't have someone who's an impact player, then they'll go after a vet like Adrian Peterson who's hitting 32 years old, but still probably has a little bit left in the tank.
That's Tiki Barber here on Sportsline with Chris and Marcus. If Joe Mixon is there, what do you think of him? And the Packers' defense, let's be real, against Atlanta, I don't know if they had enough offense. They didn't look like they were ever going to stop Atlanta, but just your thoughts on the Packers. Are they an ascending team in your view? And Joe Mixon, if he happened to be there.
Yeah, you know, Mixon, I like Joe Mixon as a player. What there is to weigh as a GM and an owner is, do you have the fan base that will be forgiving? Is there, I think, tame enough media coverage not to crucify you for making the pick? And no matter where he goes, if he goes to Green Bay, if he goes to New York, wherever, that's going to happen immediately, right? It's just going to be, well, you remember what he did in college, remember what he did and all these other, it's going to hit. The question is, how long is it going to last, right? And if there's an organization or a community, because it's really the community, that can acknowledge his fault, let him explain himself and show what he's done to better himself as a man, and then forgive him, then he can fit in some place. And it seems like Green Bay actually would be a place like that, that would embrace someone who had paid his dues, someone who had forgiven or found a way to find forgiveness in the community that he goes to. But it's a tough call. It really is. And it's a shame because he's such a good player. I think he's probably one of the top three rated players at the position, but he's not going to get drafted commensurate to that. He's probably going to fall down to the third or fourth round unless someone really takes a risk on him. As far as it pertains to the Packers, where I see them, they're always ascending because they have one of the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. And yes, I know that it doesn't feel that way because of some of the, I don't know, question marks that we had throughout the regular season last year, but it always seems to be the same when it gets to the games that matter in November and December. Aaron Rodgers has this team, and Mike McCarthy, as the head coach and play caller, has this team always competing into the postseason. And that's something that a lot of teams can't say on a year in and year out basis.
Tiki, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking the time and look forward to listening to you before we do our thing in the afternoons. Enjoy.
Look, I appreciate you guys. Chris, Marcus, take care.
All right.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Tiki Barber. Yeah, one of the all-timers, Marcus. I mean, wow. I think the Packers would be able to find a way to put him to really good use in their offense. Throwing the ball to him, holy man. I mean, how many catches a year could that guy have in this offense? And converting first downs, making the first guy miss, breaking tackles, wow.
I know, and they're not going to be in any range to take a Leonard Fournette or a Christian McCaffrey, or chances are, you know, Dalvin Cook, anything like
right.
that. And I don't think they would be excited about taking a running back in the first round, but there is just this thought in my head of just seeing Aaron Rodgers play with a top-end elite running back that's like, damn, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, it would be. And you know what the thing is? They got Eddie Lacy in the second round, and look what he did for him. If they could get a running back in this draft that could do what Lacy did in years one and two and three early in his career, holy man, I mean, what a boost that would be. But I don't think you have to take that. You could get that guy, and I don't think you need to do that in the first round. So it probably sets up a position where, let's be real, they are the Green Bay Packers. They're going to throw it. But you get a guy who can catch it out of the backfield. It's time. Time to get a guy like that. Let's get to a break. Come back on the other side, Marcus. Let's take some calls, talk some NFL draft. The Packers got some audio from Tony Pauline from this AM. He's at draftanalyst.com. His thoughts on where the Packers are at, how they're sitting at 29. Also, 515, last caller standing.
Yes, indeed. $50 to the Abbey. And also, some interesting comments from one Vince Beagle.
Mm-hmm.
High school, college, staying in the state of Wisconsin. Only one step remains, and I'm not talking about the Green Bay Blizzard.
No, not at all. We'll get some audio from Vince as well, the pride of the Badgers. Back after these messages, more Sportsline, Chris and Marcus here on The Fan.